Hello, Rodian. How are you doing?
Good morning, Benj. What an intro. I mean, how can I beat that?
Yeah, no, well, you know, I don't know actually how good you are at riddles, but you bring us the most difficult riddle of all every single day, which is the riddle of the Middle East.
I tell you, that's the riddle I don't think anybody's going to figure out. You know, they say that Peace in the Middle East is the shortest book ever written.
there are some other ones that are similar, but, certainly it does have some very limited chapters. So that's unfortunate. But someone who seems to be wanting to do something about that is the deputy mayor of Frankfurt. What's he up to?
Isn't it incredible?
What's he doing, and why is a deputy? I mean, who cares first of all about Frankfurt? It's like some random city in Germany. What is he talking about?
Well, first of all, I think it's hugely symbolic, the deputy mayor of Frankfurt, his name is Uwe Becker. He has submitted a bill this week that would ban municipal funds and space being used for activities that promote BDS or that aim to boycott Israel. And he says the BDS sanctions movement uses the same kind of language as the National Socialists, that's Nazis, once used to express "don't buy from Jews." So he totally gets it. So in Germany, and it's symbolic not only because it's Germany, but because Europe is becoming a hotbed of anti-Semitism, of anti-Semitic activity, and BDS has found a lot of ground in certain parts of Europe.
Yeah, particularly the Spanish and the French. Quite interesting, this particular ban. I mean, I think we've got to be quite careful with bans, but at the end of the day, this is exactly what BDS is doing, right? They get municipalities and governments and whatever to try and make these bans, so they can't really complain. You pick up one side of the stick, you're going to have to pick up the other.
Well, you know, as we know very well from having dealt with BDS issues over the years, is that they couch their language in human rights speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that, you know, they use the language that they care about, the human rights of the Palestinians, and they know exactly the kind of jargon to use. But I think more and more people are being exposed to the fact that, you know, that they're not equal opportunistic human rights activists. They have a very, very specific agenda, and they target only one country. And he goes on to say, this is Deputy Mayor Becker, he says that that at its core, BDS is a movement that delegitimizes the state of Israel and uses these kind of methods to defame Israel. And he says that they use, he called it straight, he says, tactics of intimidation. And he said that in Frankfurt a couple of years ago, he said that, and he called them department store police, who come into various department stores and stigmatize Israeli products in order to pressure stores to turn against the Jewish state. And we've seen this not just in Frankfurt, but in Bremen, in Bonn, in other German cities. And he said that in his city, or the city of Frankfurt, they are more concerned with finding a peaceful resolution of the conflict. And he says, with rising terrorism in Europe and more he believes that more people are starting to understand the situation that Israel has been facing since its inception in 1948. And he says, you know, he doesn't detract from any kind of suffering from the people of Gaza. He says, but you have to look at their leadership to blame them for that. So it's quite astounding, the language that he is using, and I'm just happy that somebody's getting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Frankfurt, and not just because they make excellent sausages. Now, moving on to a number which I don't think BB wants to hear about. I suspect, Rolene, a poll saying 72% of Israelis want BB investigated. That must be worrying him a little bit.
Yeah, well, this follows a poll taken the other day where 66% of Israelis said that should he be indicted, he really needs to go. And there has been moves by the Attorney General this week to indict Sarah Netanyahu on 4 counts of misappropriating funds. And I was chatting to Howard about it the other day, that the charges she is facing compared to, you know, charges that, say, politicians may face in South Africa might be small potatoes by comparison. But in Israel, it's taken very, very seriously. You know, if you are going to spend 10,000 shekels on pistachio-flavored ice cream, we want to know why you're doing it. Netanyahu in a rally the other night said that this is a witch hunt. It's the media. It's the left. It is an attempt by opposition to try and get him out. But the reality is that 72% of Israelis say that, first of all, we should go ahead with corruption charges and investigations. And if he is guilty, it's time for him to step down.
Yeah, certainly is a going to be very interesting to see. Bibi has survived past accusations of corruption many years ago, so it'll be interesting to see if this one goes ahead or doesn't, and what is the outcome. You know, he is a very good politician, so that will be interesting to see. Now, on the other side of things, Hamas seems to be considering military rule in Gaza. That's a bit unusual. Maybe
well,
it isn't.
Hamas are making a move to bring in military rule in Gaza. I mean, we think it's unusual. I don't see it much different from what they're doing now. But they are saying that this is a response not to anything by Israel. This is a response to very, very harsh sanctions imposed on the Strip by the Palestinian Authority. And Israel's watching this because we don't want any kind of chaos or the Gaza Strip to descend into any kind of chaotic situation. And a source within Hamas said that they had submitted a proposal to the organization's political leadership and suggested that Hamas create a political and security vacuum in the Gaza Strip by waiving its management. And as we know, Hamas are not going to hand over their leadership of the Gaza Strip anytime soon. But what they would, what they are prepared to do is bring in military rule. And this concerns us as Israel because it could lead to some kind of escalation with us.
Yeah, that does seem to have been some of the context around the war last time around, was that Hamas was feeling isolated and started to shoot a few rockets, etc., to try and get attention, and then we ended up with a war. So let's hope that intra-Palestinian strife doesn't end up affecting Israel unduly. And, of course, the people of Gaza as well, who are, I think, suffering quite a lot now with reduced electricity and sewage in the beaches. Not a nice situation there at all. And it would be nice if the Hamas would realize that actually the best way to sort out the problem would just be to talk.
Well, it could be to talk and also to use the tremendous amount of aid that they receive to pay their electricity bill so that their citizens don't need to suffer the way that that they're suffering. But also, you know, we spoke about, or you just mentioned the conflict several years ago. We did have rockets fired into Israel this week, one hitting the industrial area of Ashkelon and starting a small fire. Thank goodness nobody was hurt or no serious damage was caused. But, you know, every time there is kind of internecine fighting between Fatah and Hamas or something happens in the area to cause tension, we bear the brunt of rockets being fired into Israel. Having said that, the military also announced yesterday that our subterranean wall to block off the constant tunneling by Hamas will extend into the sea, and that we're warning residents of Gaza, we're warning Hamas that if you are going to build homes or whatever on top of your tunnels, we will bomb those homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And not a nice situation, but I think that in general the world is not having such a good time with rockets. Someone actually SMSing in here saying he believes Donald Trump is cleaning up Bill Clinton's mess because of the terrible agreement he made with North Korea. And one might say that this extends rocket-wise to Hamas and, in fact, to Iran. So rockets are changing the way that we have to deal with the war, the business of war, what can I say? Not fun at all.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking as well yesterday that North Korea is America's equivalent to what Iran is to us. And they've made no.
Ooh. Gosh, Raleen, we seem to have lost you there a little bit. Can you move around or whatever? Can we get Raleen there? Oh, no, we definitely seem to be losing you. Oh, gosh, and there was such a nice story that I wanted to talk to Raleen about. So we're just going to try and get her back on the line because I don't want you to miss out. There is some really good and interesting stuff going on. So, yeah, that's what we've been talking about, rockets and things like this. If you're interested, actually, if you ever read foreign policy, that's like the big granddaddy of foreign affairs relations. Have a look at foreign policy. They've got no good options on North Korea is a myth. That's the article. So if you're interested, go and have a look at that, very, very interesting article saying that maybe there are still ways to deal, with, North Korea that do not include war, but we might need to actually start to use them. Raleen, do we have you back online?
You have me back. I never went too far away from you.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. Let's get off this depressing topic of rockets, shall we? And do something a little bit differently. If you were a fan of Jerry Maguire, remember that movie? Show me the money. Not pay back the money. Show me the money. I think that was where it's from. Jonathan Panicki, who was in that movie, became Birthright's 600,000th participant. Give us a little bit of lowdown of that.
Well, I think Israel had him at Shalom. We all remember Jonathan Lipnicki. He was the really cute little kid, Ray, who used to say, whose comments like, did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds? I think that's what the quote was. Well, he just very, very quietly joined Birthright in July. He was here for 10 days as part of the Birthright group, and he was the 600,000th participant. The other participants didn't really know who he was. Many of them said to him, you know, you should really tell people that you, because you have the same name, that you're the guy from Jerry Maguire. And it said that he would just like smile and shrug his shoulders and, you know, just carry on regardless. He was discovered to be who he was because he has a huge tattoo of a Magen David on his torso. And the jig was up, you know, obviously at the beach or somewhere where people saw the tattoo and made the connection. And he says, you know, my Judaism is very, very important to me. I'm the grandson of a survivor of Auschwitz. And he said, I came on Birthright because I felt like I wanted to gain more experience by doing normal things. And he got a free hat to mark his big milestone of being the 600,000th participant. And he said, you know, his favorite moment or favorite part of his trip here was visiting the Dead Sea. And he says, in the Kotel, he says, we were at the Western Wall on Shabbat and all of us were just overcome with emotion going there. He said, and it meant a lot to him to see people praying on Shabbat, and it really struck a chord in him. And, you know, he wanted to extend his trip, but he has had to go back to America because he's filming more movies.
Well, there you go. And do yourself a favor. If you're into child stars who don't look the same as when they looked when they were five, you can go Google Jonathan Lipnicki. He's not a bad looking guy, actually. Grew up. He doesn't look like the same 6-year-old, and has also starred since in things like Stuart Little, The Little Vampire. Seems to do a lot of little roles. But a big guy, and apparently involved in lots of charity work. So nice of him to go on Birthright. Raleen, thank you so much. Have a good Shabbos. Nice to have chatting on the line with you.
Shabbat shalom. Always a pleasure, Benj.
There we go. That's Raleen Marks all the way from Israel, bringing you the lowdown on Israeli news, and now bringing you the lowdown on Chai FM news.